So our next speaker is Fernando Santos, along with Eric Aguato, and they will be talking about the computational science and religion studies. They work at Calvin University, professors there, and we should have a very interesting conversation about their computer science work. Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. So as been said, I'm developing this work at the Department of Computer Science, especially with Eric Araújo. We're both Brazilians at the Computer Science Department. I think I'm the third Brazilian to present here today. That's nice. So what I want to do here today is more like a provocation into a field that we feel that is not being explored so much. So there is a lot to explore here. And I'm not here to bring solutions and answers, only questions that are out there and we need to approach them in some way. If you were in Eric's presentation, in our previous presentation on agent-based modeling of political polarization and churches, you saw the technical part. You saw like the application of those kind of stuff. So now today in this presentation, we're taking like a step back and looking at the whole area and trying to find which kind of questions we need to ask here. So let me start by just talking about my trajectory, because it's kind of funny that my major was in computer engineering, my PhD was electrical engineering, and then when the subject of like faith integration came, I would be pointed to technology, right? Faith in technology, which is important. And Derek Sherman helped me a lot in that, and lots of other authors. And I studied a lot about faith in technology, of developing new technologies, engineering, innovation, and et cetera. However, while I was doing that, what did I actually do during my PhD, right? So I was publishing on computational neuroscience papers. I was doing science. I was dealing with limb movements of locusts and modeling biological systems. Did it feel like faith in technology? No, it was science. But it was a specific kind of science, right? I could delve into like philosophy of biology, but still, like, what about the computer part of science? What about computational science? So it felt like a blind spot, right? Is faith in computer science only a philosophy or a theology of technology? Where is the scientific computing, the scientific component? And if we stop to think about it, of course, there is a variety of opinions here. People would say that computational science is nothing new in the sense of like a big qualitative shift from previous science. Some other people will say it's a big, big qualitative shift, and I think it is, considering the kinds of reactions we hear when we present something about computational science and simulation, because it is different. Different kinds of reasoning, different kinds of practices, different kinds of explanations, and we need to investigate those. So there is this diagram by Rob Gray, if I'm not wrong. I should have put a reference here. But and I don't know if I agree with everything here. But they say that science is going through different, like lots of changes, which are kind of like cumulative in a certain sense. Maybe I would say only three paradigms. I don't know about the fourth. Maybe the fourth is related to the third one. But yeah, we started with empirical science, theoretical science, and then we have computers coming. And then we do simulations, right? We don't need to do like material things, material experiences anymore. We can just simulate how systems will behave in a computer. Is it different at all? And there are lots of philosophical and even sociological questions in the sense of like how the scientific community would work among all of this. And then today we have big data-driven science. Yeah, maybe big data, right? Science was always driven by data, by experiment. But yeah, we have big data-driven. We have deep learning and all of these new techniques. And we have questions to ask here. So we have the rise of computational science, of what we call XComp, the computational physics, computational chemistry, computational biology, computational neuroscience, all of these XComp. And we have also XInfo, analysis of data from biology, bioinformatics, health informatics, geoinformatics, socioinformatics. Some people would say there's not a big difference here, but I like to think like XComp is more like modeling simulation, and XInfo is more like analysis, data science. But they're all there, and we have books being published all the time, like Christine Borgman's book, Big Data, Little Data, The Changes in Scientific Institutions Due to Big Data and Computational Science Big Databases. Eric Winsberg wrote a pretty well-received book on science in the age of computer simulation. So all of the questions that we may ask, what's the value, what's the worth of simulation? Is it helpful at all? Epistemology of simulations, what's that about? And then Margaret Morrison, and people are constantly asking these questions. And I think this should come to us as Christians too. Like, we have a voice to be articulated in this context. So Rob Kitchen will say, like, there is an urgent need for wider critical reflection within the academy on the epistemological implications of this data revolution. A task that has barely began to be tackled despite the rapid changes in research practices taking place. So just as an example, right? We had the COVID pandemic. I don't know whoever got in contact with this model, but this was a model done at Imperial College in London, New Ferguson's model. And it was used to justify lockdown policies. The code was made public, but then people started to criticize it. So it's poorly designed, it's poorly written, it's poorly documented. Okay, so what kind of credibility should we give to this model about the COVID-19 spreading? And this is especially sensible, speaking from a church and Christian perspective, right? Because, I'll go back later, but because we face this kind of trust crisis, a crisis of trust from the part of Christians, right? And then we see models and simulations trying to come at conclusions, and we have this challenge ahead. Should we trust those? Should we trust the scientific institutions today when science is done in the way that is done today? And that's actually a critique, because sometimes we appeal to the foundations of modern science in the 17th century. And okay, that's nice. And science was established there, but we have a different way of doing science today with computers, with data, with simulations. Are we actually up to the challenge to show that it is still trustable, that is still a thing worth doing from a Christian and even theological point of view? So Josh Reeves wrote this book. I love this book. it's quite accessible for the general public, saying we need to redeem expertise and rebuild the idea of scientific trust in the church, but still have challenges. So I think 1 year ago, I don't know how much time ago, we published this paper with a research group I have in Germany. Actually putting out these problems. Software in science is out there, but it's overlooked. And we need to pay attention to that. Not only actually the scientific models. Maybe you could say, okay, this is mathematics, like, right? Like mathematical models or statistics. But there is a software component to this. It's more than just code. It's more than just mathematical models. There is license involved, licenses of using software, uses, governance, infrastructures. How are these working in our world today, and how should we respond to those, right? It's ubiquitous, yet overlooked. So we started this research group on like what we call software studies in science. And then we have lots of questions ahead. specifically from a science and religion point of view. We have a big area of study, like Alistair McGrath is one of the popes in this area. He published like Science and Religion, an introduction, like textbook for students relating science and religion. And we have themes out there. But when we go to computational science, right, and maybe we can find like biology and religion, we can find chemistry and religion, physics and religion, but all about computer science. And maybe we can only find discussions about AI anthropology today, right? Are artificial agents able to think like human beings, which is a big area of discussion in religious circles today? It's nice, but there's so much beyond that. And maybe like computational modeling of religion, which we find this, and I find it really important too. But we still don't see like a systematic investigation. What are the main tenets? What are the main ideas, the main areas we need to talk about? Like natural theology, how does computation has a role here? How did computational science brought new stuff to the table to discuss about? So I wanted to at least highlight five topics. I mean, the sixth topic we can discuss later because it's widely discussed, and I'm not an expert in this on theological anthropology and AI, but this is just out there a lot. But I think five things we need to discuss. Reductionism, information reductionism, cybernetics, complexity, I'll touch on those. The idea of models and explanation. Simulations, right? What is the theological interpretation of a simulation and what's it good for? And then like how to understand divine action with the notion of algorithms and computation. And then finally, what I call computational STS, how to understand the scientific institutions from a view, like almost like a political view of human flourishing according to a Christian perspective. I'll be quick on those. I don't want to take you so much time, especially because I want to just foster the discussion here. but first, is everything reducible to information? And we see this. Since the cybernetic movements, we see this kind of thesis that we can reduce the world to just dynamics of information running from one place to another. And it's useful for some kinds of scientific applications and explanations, but we can ask about reductionism here, right? Is everything reducible to patterns captured by models? Maybe a Laplace demon, informational version of that. Because we have mechanical reductionism, right? But now we have informational reductionism. And you have like computationalist views of the mind, computationalist views of the universe, pan-computationalism, and these more philosophical views. And it is sensitive, like behavior informatics, social computing. Can I reduce a human being to a variable, to a simple agent exchanging information? Of course, we can't reduce, but it's useful at some point, maybe. Is it? No? That's a discussion. But then, on the other side, does this help, actually? Does this offer tools for new theological metaphors? Can we use, like in the same way that we use mechanical metaphors, we used scientific metaphors, can we use computational metaphors to understand theology, to understand God? Or are we just repeating old reductionisms? How is this affecting theology at all, right? We see that in lots of areas. And I mean, we need a more profound, and I can't do this. I need to be a philosopher. I'm not a philosopher, but we need people engaging with the philosophy of cybernetics, philosophy of complexity, emergence. I can just mention Robert Bishop's contextual emergence, which is a pretty hard work, but I was happy to see Christians getting involved with this whole idea of reductionism and complexity and emergence in an attempt to create a more like natural philosophy in view of computational science. So second part is, let me just see time, I'm not with time here. Second, models, right? We're using models. They're not true. And here comes the very well-known phrase, like, all models are wrong, but some are useful, a jerk box. And this phrase requires some discussion, right? Because, okay, are we not interested in truth anymore? we just want useful models, right? What about truth? What about, what are the presuppositions here, right? If you think about, right, a model, they resonate metaphorically, right? You create a small representation of something, and they make sense. They help us to explain things because there is a metaphorical quality to them. But how far can we take those, right? How much should we rely on models, on reductionistic? They reduce things. How much should we rely on those to live our lives, to understand truth? Is it like rational inference or just projection of our way we want to see stuff? And even worse, our models are increasingly complex. We use like deep learning, layers of neurons, artificial neurons. They become epistemically opaque. And this is a big discussion in philosophy of science today. Epistemic opacity, right? Can we actually explain what the model is giving us? It's just a lot of calculations, right? You can run the thing, but can you understand what's actually happening? And maybe you say, yeah, but the universe is like that, right? Okay, but then what's the point? What counts as explanation in this world where we create huge models that are just black boxes? Are we actually contributing to stuff? Are we messing with things we don't understand? What's the whole role of mystery here, right? Are we just moving from understanding to just prediction? And this is another thing, right? When you go like to physics or other science fields, they say that big data will abolish theory, which I think it's false, but in a sense, they're just having a model and trying to predict what happens. And they don't have equations anymore. They just have a black box model, like a neural network. Is this understanding? Is this helping us at all? So, and then finally, can we do theology in this way? And this will be like, I expect to be highly resisted. But still, can we do computational theology? I don't know. I think it's interesting, but yeah. And then simulation, right? And that was most of the questions we had in the last presentation. How well can we actually represent and simulate, right? Because when we do a computer simulation, we're not using actual like data to be fed in the model directly. We're just having some inspiration in the real world and just trying to play. the verb we use is actually this, right? We're playing with the model and see what happens and see what is sensible, what gets out of that. But we need to verify, we need to validate those. There is this big discussion in the philosophical literature about the materiality experiment. Some people would argue that a material experiment, like if I do it in a lab, in real life, it is more warranted. It's more trustable, trustworthy than just a computation simulation. Some other people will say, you know what? Experiment, scientific experiment, a lab, it's artificial in the same way, so it just doesn't matter the way I do it in a lab. A big discussion today. But then, like, what's the point of this, right? What's the value? What's the function of it? How does it actually help us? And should we actually be pursuing those? I think most of us can see the point of that, but I can also see some people, and myself included, sometimes we step back and say, should I actually be pursuing this? Or will this really help us? Maybe we can even draw some kind of parallels. Something that a colleague said to me once, like, is a parable like a story that Jesus told? Is it like a kind of simulation? Because usually we use this term thought experiment, right? Is a computer simulation just a more elaborated form of a thought experiment of a parable of like, let's simulate this scenario and see what we can learn from this? I think it's interesting. But still, could we use those not just as science, but maybe devotionally, aesthetically, theologically? Could they help us to understand things better in theology itself? And I think it's interesting to be pursuing this. But then on the other side, they are simulations. They are just information. They are not like, of course, this is disputed, but they're not real life. And everybody understands what I mean with that, right? They have a certain distance from things, right? We're not engaging people. We're just doing, we're just dealing with abstract entities. And maybe there is something to be explored here. It can alter our perception of how things are, right? Finally, 3 minutes. We're going to the end. Another thing. This is everything I got by talking with people and saying, okay, what do you think about computer science and religion? But one thing, like, could divine action be understood in terms of like algorithms? Like, God is just like running an algorithm and acting. And there is a specific way to understand divine action in like secondary causes. So God acts through secondary causes, like he makes things rain. Is God like calling a function here and then the function implements things? I don't know if I agree with that, but people were suggesting some algorithmic explanations and models to understand God's action in the world. But then we could worry if this will just reduce God to a like cosmic programmer. But indeed, when we study algorithms, we are thinking a lot about action delegation, the meaning of actions, and how things can be delegated to different actors, and how does God act, and how does human beings act, and how do everything works in the world we live? Algorithms, I think they provide some model and some ways of thinking about this. But again, we shouldn't want to reduce God to like just a cosmic programmer. maybe like with the danger of reducing, like coming from Newton's clockmaker to just a programmer or software user. The world is just a big algorithm and the higher abstraction is just like God's purposes for the world. I think this is very, this should sound reductionist. And then finally, as I've been mentioning, this science is all done and with tools, institutions, norms, and funding, and metaphors. It has code, right? Layers of abstraction, users, has infrastructure running this, platforms, data, architectures. And from a social perspective, right? From a and maybe like from a perspective of Christian virtues of, and the way we see that things work, we could think about this. And maybe even thinking about our religious communities and theological communities, this could help shed light on the way that maybe even data circulates in religious communities, right? Data journeys. How are the codes and infrastructures and institutions and norms and funding, how is this affecting our churches, right? So what are the infrastructures supporting theological activity? So this is only questions and questions and questions. I hope I could be clear on something here, but this is at least my provocation, okay? Move beyond ethics and faith in computer science. Move beyond philosophy of technology and theology of technology in computer science. I love this. I study theology of technology. I have a long experience with this, but still I feel a lack of reflection on computational science, especially because this is my own trajectory. And we need to bring this, what we call the mutually enriching dialogue. That was the idea of Alistair McGrath when he proposed this area of science or religion, right? Instead of conflict, what about mutually enriching dialogue? Now, computational science is out there. How can they mutually enrich each other? They are constructive. They are modeling. They use metaphors. They wrestle with these questions of representation, agency, complexity, truth, and they have communities of practice. So that's the path we have ahead. Some half references are out there, and let's talk.
Okay. Mind-boggling range of things to think about. Any questions? We have time for just a few.
This was super interesting. I think you're exactly right in pinpointing some really key areas that should be developed more. My question is, if you could pick one that you think is the most pressing to get, if you get funding to do a research project in one of these areas, tomorrow, what would it be?
Explanation. Scientific explanation and models. I think it touches, today we have this area of explainable artificial intelligence. People are worried about, can we explain the results we're getting? And it has a big stake in churches and trust in science, because we need to communicate to the general public, and churches have this history of mistrusting, being suspect of science. So what's explanation?
Okay, we have to get ready for the next session, so yep. We'll take a break. 5 minutes. Thank you.